Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Other bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly books we love.
Yeah.
Hooray. And we're going to do that today. Well, I think you're talking about a book you love. Sounds like you're enjoying it.
Unless I'm extensively ranting about Old Man and the Sea, I am usually talking about books I love.
Yes.
Well, I've been, like, jumping around books. I've been reading Wings of Fire, and I've been reading stuff in school, and I've also read a few things out of a book my dad was reading. I believe it's called Lore or something similar, but I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's kind of like The Scary States of America that I talked about a while ago, where they take a bunch of different, based on true stories, urban legends and stuff, and put it into an anthology. And this one is more adult geared, like Scary States of America was more geared towards tweens and children. This one is more geared towards adults. Like, there's the story of Annabelle in there, like the original doll, which was Raggedy Ann doll. There is
creepy.
Raggedy Ann dolls are scary. My mom had some, I think, and she doesn't think they're scary, but I think they're terrifying. There's other creepy doll stuff in there. There's stuff about the Wendigo in there, and it's all very, very cool. Oh, there it is. It is called The World of Lore, Monstrous Creatures by Aaron Mankey. That has a very cool cover, too.
So have you read some of the stories?
Yeah.
And do you have any favorites?
I've jumped around. My favorite so far is the one about Annabelle, but I'm also a pretty good big fan of some of the other doll ones.
Do you have any creepy dolls in your life?
I have this doll that I don't really consider creepy until someone points it out to me. I bought it at a thrift shop, and it's a doll of a Japanese woman in a kimono, and it's on a stand, so it's not like a play with doll. It's it's more of a figurine, but I put it on my nightstand, and I never notice it until someone actually points it out. And then there's another one that's made of, like, real seal fur that I have to keep in a drawer because my mom's allergic to it, and my mom actually thinks it's creepy, but I think it's cute. It's a little Eskimo mm-hmm. doll.
I tried not to judge a book by its cover. Not the book in this case, but, like, scary dolls.
Yeah.
Because, you know, deep down inside, they might not be evil or creepy. They might just be very nice dolls with creepy faces.
I think Cabbage Patch dolls are pretty scary, too.
It's true. My niece has a stuffed animal fox that was a hand-me-down from her aunt on her other side that my nephew says is very creepy. And I can see why he thinks it looks creepy because it's a little raggedy because it's like an older doll. And it's this red, bright red fox with like really squinty like eyes that maybe are like angled a little bit so they look like they're, you know, like how you
like
get the
they're
mean,
glaring at you, yeah.
The mean eyebrows. It's kind of like the an illusion of mean eyebrows.
Oh.
But I actually think it looks like a nice fox.
Aw.
I don't think my niece would be friends with a mean fox. So that's my vote. Do you think you're going to read more stories?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. My dad tried to get into the story book I brought in a couple days ago. A couple weeks ago. Months, probably. It was a while ago when I read this. About the weird and sometimes scary stories based off Mother Goose rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not like it very much, which is why I told him he should jump around because there are some really bad and really good ones in there, but mm-hmm. he kind of gave up on it.
Oh, well, not every book is for every person.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you liked it. Mm-hmm. So the book I wanted to talk about is The Unwanted Stories of the Syrian Refugees. It's written and illustrated by Don Brown, and it's an informational graphic novel about the war in Syria and specifically about the situation of Syrian refugees around the world,
mm-hmm.
as well as a little bit about people left behind, but it's primarily focused on the refugees. And I thought it was a really effective way of kind of getting an introduction to what's going on in Syria, why there's a situation where there's millions of people that are displaced and fleeing for their lives. Of course, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But I think that he did a good job of making sense of that complication and being okay with the fact that it's complicated. It's not just simple.
Yeah.
And I think the images are very effective and moving. My only critique of this graphic novel is that they use a standard font or typeface in the book.
Oh, and
like as a graphic novel reader, I'm used to it being like a handwritten text. And that just really threw me off. But it does make it easy to read because it's a very legible typeface. But yeah, I think it's meant for teens and adults, I would say. I think younger readers that are mature enough or whose family feels comfortable sharing some of this like war and devastation and trauma with them would be fine to read it as well. But, you know, there is a lot of people have died and a lot of people have harmed other people. And it also addresses some of the bias against refugees. You know, there's so many refugees, and when that many people come to a new place, it can cause some tension around resources, fear of the other. So you do see some of that.
It's very, very interesting that it's like this so informational and serious, but it's like a graphic novel. So it's still kind of very fun or like interesting to read, see the images and all that.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how they portray certain events or people. And I think it helps make it kind of come to life. So it's, you're not just reading words and trying to imagine, but you're actually seeing people, you know, obviously drawings of people going through some of these things. But they also use images and words to sort of break down some of the facts for you in interesting ways. Like to try to get a sense of the numbers of people that have been displaced and are now finding their homes in different places of the world. They have some charts.
Like, they drew like graphs and charts and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, so they have one part where it says, before the Civil War, the population of Syria is about 22 million people, a bit bigger than Florida's. So they have a picture of the shape of the country of Syria and then Florida. The flood of refugees reduces the population to about 17 million. The 5.5 million refugees are about equal to the population of Denmark.
Oh.
It also, there's a chart where they show the monthly applications for asylum. So in December 2011, about 800 people applied for asylum in Europe. In December 2014, nearly 15,000 people applied for asylum in Europe. In Syria, about 191,000 people are killed by 2014. Among the dead are at least 8,800 children and young people under 18. So it's a very sad story, obviously, and it's a story that's continuing in our world. But I think it's important to know about what's going on in the world, and including, you know, this is also, there are refugees that come to the United States. Not many, because we've capped the number that are allowed in, as have some other countries. And some countries are starting to put up walls and fences to keep people out that need help. And so they explore that too, how like certain countries, once more and more people started coming, they started putting caps on the number of people that could come in.
When was this book published or written? Or
I think it was published last year. Let me double check that. But I know it won an award at the recent Youth Media Awards, which usually is for books published in 2018. Yeah. Yeah, so it was published in 2018. Oh, and there's a poem at the end.
Oh.
And since it's National Poetry Month, I could share that.
Yeah.
So this is Hope Behind the Shadow of Pain by Sahir Noah. I will draw my dreams on the wall of hope, a hope of finding home, hope of going to school, hope of holding my parents' hands and walking through the darkness without feeling scared. It seems hard, but from the heart of disaster, I will be waiting for somehow everything to come to an end and see the light behind the darkness and remember always when life gives you all reasons to give up, don't. Don't let the stumbles on the round stop the journey. Stay strong and think of that word, which they call hope. So that's accompanied by an illustration called Hope by Salam Noah, which is of a young child writing the word hope on a tent, which I assume is meant to be a refugee tent.
Oh, that's really nice.
So not the most pleasant book to read, but an important book, and I think a very well-written and produced book.
Yeah.
That gives a lot of information in a very accessible way.
That's cool.
So that was my sad read among many happy picture books. Although I also read two picture books this past week that made me cry.
Oh, what picture books were those?
One was called Grandma's Visit, and it's about a young girl's relationship with her grandmother and learning about her grandmother's childhood and her culture. And then grandma passes on, and in their Chinese culture, they believe when somebody dies that you turn on all the lights in the house so that the spirit of your deceased loved one can find their way home for the last visit.
Oh.
So it's a mix of grandma's visit, you know, daily visits with her granddaughter, and then grandma's final visit. And then I forget what the other one was that made me cry. But I read that one, and then I read some light, happy ones, and then I read another one that made me cry, and I was like, why? Children's picture books, they get me.
I don't remember what the picture book my mom has is, but he comes to the book festival, I think, last year and almost every year now, called, like, God Needed a Puppy, and I don't know who it's by, but all I know is that I look at the cover of that thing for too long, and I start crying. I once tried to read the first page, and I started crying, and so it just stays out of sight for me.
Yeah, I think it's John Gray. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's who it is.
And he has a new one called Keller's Heart.
Yeah.
And I believe he's coming to the book festival this year.
Yeah,
as well.
I think he is. I'm pretty sure he is, because my mom's talking about looking forward to seeing him again.
Oh, great. Save the day for the book fest, everyone.
Yeah.
Saturday, May 4th at the Hudson Junior Senior High School.
We love the book fest.
It's a pretty awesome event, especially for book lovers like us. But other people love it too.
Yeah.
Even if they don't identify as an avid reader. It's still fun to get to meet an author, and the Hudson Literacy Fund makes it possible for all the students to be able to get a free book, which is great. So if you go to the Hudson City School District, if you're a student there,
you can get a free
book. You can get a free book signed by an author or illustrator at the book festival.
Yeah.
And I think they also have other free books often there. And it's free comic book day, and usually the school has that as well. So you can get some comics. It's a pretty awesome event. And it's free to attend. So
yeah,
that's great. Well, we want to share some books that are coming out that you might be interested in, and maybe we would too. So let's see. I'll start with a historic fiction novel that I think is written in verse. I might be wrong on that. So, you know, if you get this book and it's not written in verse, don't be mad at me. But I'm pretty sure I read that in a review somewhere. So it's called White Rose by Kip Wilson. And it's based on a true story. So it's historical fiction, but it is actually based on a true story. A gorgeous and timely novel based on the incredible story of Sophie Scholl, a young German college student who challenged the Nazi regime during World War II as part of the White Rose, a nonviolent resistance group. Disillusioned by the propaganda of Nazi Germany, Sophie Scholl, her brother, and his fellow soldiers formed the White Rose, a group that wrote and distributed anonymous letters criticizing the Nazi regime and calling for action from their fellow German citizens. The following year, Sophie and her brother were arrested for treason and interrogated for information about their collaborators. So this book is sort of a fictionalized
historical
version of the story.
Yeah.
So it's imagining some things, but, you know, it's based in fact and true stories.
Yes.
And I've seen a movie about Sophie Scholl and the White Rose that was very moving.
Ooh.
So this is definitely one I'm going to pick up, check out, and I'll let you know if it's truly a verse novel, because the description I had here does not say that, but I'm pretty sure I read that in a review. I like a good verse novel. So what have you got?
So what I have here is We Rule the Night by Claire Eliza Bartlett. The description here says, two girls use forbidden magic to fly and fight for their country and for themselves in this riveting debut that's part Shadow and Bone, part codenamed Verity. 17-year-old Revna is a factory worker manufacturing war machines for the Union of the North. When she's caught using illegal magic, she fears being branded a traitor and imprisoned. Meanwhile, on the front lines, Lynn defied her father, a Union general, and disguised herself as a boy to join the army. They're both offered a reprieve from punishment if they use their magic in a special women's military fight unit and undertake terrifying, deadly missions under cover of darkness. Revna and Lynn can hardly stand to be in the same cockpit, but if they can't fly together, and if they can't find a way to fly well, the enemy's superior firepower will destroy them if they don't destroy each other first. We Rule the Night is a powerful story about sacrifice, complicated friendships, and survival despite impossible odds. I love magic.
And it's interesting, the two books that they compare it to are Shadow and Bone by Leigh Bardugo, who I haven't read Shadow and Bone, but I've read Six of Crows, which is by them.
That's one of our book battle things this year.
And it has a little bit of magic in it and adventure. And then Codename Verity is a historical fiction novel that's got some espionage and some female pilots. So it's interesting, those connecting together.
Yeah.
That story. Again, I have one more to share. It is called Forward Me Back to You by Mitali Perkins. Katina King is the reigning teen jiu-jitsu champion of Northern California, but she's having trouble fighting off the secrets in her past. Robin Thornton was adopted from an orphanage in Kolkata, India, and is reluctant to take on his future. Since he knows nothing about his past, how is he supposed to figure out what comes next? Robin and Kat meet in the most unlikely of places, a summer service trip to India to work with survivors of human trafficking. As bonds blossom between the travel mates, Robin and Kat discover the healing superpowers of friendship. At turns heart-wrenching and beautiful and buoyant, Metelli Perkins' new novel explores the ripple effects of violence across borders and generations, and how small acts of heroism can break the cycle.
Ooh.
Sounds like a good read.
It does.
I like Metelli Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So those are just three recent releases that sound very good.
Yeah.
So if those sound good to you, check them out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read them and you like them, let us know.
Yeah.
So we're going to break for a little bit of music. And then for those listening on Sunday, we'll be back shortly to talk a little bit more. And for those listening Friday, this is it for us for today. But we hope you have a great week. Lots of quality reading time.
Bye.
Happy reading. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we are here every week talking about books.
Yep.
And earlier we talked about some of the books we've been reading and some books coming out this month that we're excited about. And now we're going to share some poems because it is National Poetry Month.
Yep.
And the poems we're going to share are all from the book Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, 100 Poems to Rip Out and Read. And were selected by Bruno Navasky, but are by a variety of poets.
Yeah.
Would you like to start us off, Amelia?
Sure. This one's like a little short one. And I kind of like it because of that.
Yeah.
Ways of Composing by Eve Merriam. Typewriter, a mouthful of teeth chattering, afraid to be quiet, a pencil can lie down and dream, dark and silver silences.
I'll do a short one too to follow that up. This one is called The Panther by Ogden Nash. Ooh. The panther is like a leopard, except it hasn't been peppered. Should you behold a panther crouch, prepare to say ouch. Better yet, if called by a panther, don't anther. And it does say anther. I wasn't just saying that.
I love that.
Don't anther.
That's so adorable. And then I have another one, which is I apparently grabbed the shortest and the longest one I could find out of this little
nice
collection I have, called Miracles by Walt Whitman. Why, who makes such of a miracle? As to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or dart my sight over the roofs of houses towards the sky, or wade with naked feet along the beach just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in the bed at night with anyone I love, or sit at table at dinner with the rest, or look at strangers opposite to me riding in the car, or watch honeybees busy around the hive of a summer forenoon, or animals feeding in the fields, or birds, or the wonderfulness of insects in the air, or the wonderfulness of the sundown, or of the stars shining so quiet and bright, or the exquisite, delicate, thin curve of the new moon in spring. These with the rest, one and all, are to me miracles, the whole referring, yet each distinct and in its place. To me every hour of the light and dark is a miracle, every cubic inch of space is a miracle, every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with the same, every foot of the interior swarms with the same. To me the sea is a continual miracle, the fishes that swim, the rocks, the motion of the waves, the ships with men in them, what stranger miracles are there? That was really long.
Who is that by again?
Walt Whitman.
Ah.
Or Whiteman. But Whitman. I think it's, yeah, Whitman.
I'll read. This is from She Had Some Horses, so I assume it's from a larger work. And it's by Joy Harjo. She had some horses. She had horses who were bodies of sand. She had horses who were maps drawn of blood. She had horses who were skins of ocean water. She had horses who were the blue air of sky. She had horses who were fur and teeth. She had horses who were clay and would break. She had horses who were splintered red cliff. She had some horses. She had horses who danced in their mother's arms. She had horses who thought they were the sun and their bodies shone and burned like stars. She had horses who waltzed nightly on the moon. She had horses who were much too shy and kept quiet in stalls of their own making. She had some horses. She had horses who called themselves horse. She had horses who called themselves spirit and kept their voices secret and to themselves. She had horses who had no names. She had horses who had books of names. She had some horses. She had some horses she loved. She had some horses she hated. These were the same horses.
That's cool. I like, yeah, that one. I have one here called The Outlet by Emily Dickinson. My river runs to thee, blue sea, wilt welcome me. My river waits reply, O sea, look graciously. I'll fetch thee brooks from spotted nooks, say sea, take me. I love rhyming poems. If I see one, I just have to read it.
Yes. I have a rhyming poem by another female poet. This is Afternoon on a Hill by Edna St. Vincent Millay. I will be the gladdest thing under the sun. I will touch 100 flowers and not pick one. I will look at cliffs and clouds with quiet eyes, watch the wind bow down the grass and the grass rise. And when lights begin to show up from the town, I will mark which must be mine and then start down.
Ooh. Yay. I saw one called The Sloth, and now I must read it because I love sloths.
Sloths are great.
It's by Theodore Rothke. In moving slow, he has no peer. You ask him something in his ear. He thinks about it for a year. And then before he says a word, there upside down, unlike a bird, he will assume that you have heard a most exasperating lug. But should you call his manner smug, he'll sigh and give his branch a hug. Then off again to sleep he goes, still swaying gently by his toes, and you just know he knows he knows.
Awesome. I too love sloths.
Sloths are so cute.
What's better than a poem about a sloth? A sloth. That's the one sloth. Thing better than a poem about a sloth.
Yes.
Well, those are a selection of poems for you for this week from Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets. 100 poems to rip out and read, selected by Bruno Novaski and published in conjunction with the Academy of American Poets. We will plan to share more of them throughout the month, so be sure to listen in again to Bound by Books on WGXE. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. Yep. Have a good week. Read lots of good books.
Happy reading.
Bye.